Now let us read from the Epistle of Jude, and we come to verse 20, the 20th verse. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, and so on. Jude has finished identifying and denouncing the false teachers. His attention now is upon his faithful readers, but ye, beloved. And it will be like this to the end of the letter. What a mercy to be found among faithful Christians, in contrast to heretics, but ye, beloved. What a difference. And such that the apostle can say these words of us, but ye, beloved. You see, these others, verse 19, they're sensual, carnal, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There is every kind of contrast there. And if an apostle says so, then that's the same as Christ saying so. This is the approval of our dear Redeemer upon every true and faithful Christian. And we know, dear friends, it's by grace alone. The same grace that has saved us is the grace that keeps us believing and loving the truth. And the reason for this is what the Apostle John says in 1 John 2 verse 20, where again there's a contrast. But ye have received an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The unction is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Holy One is Christ, and we know all things. It's not saying that we're omniscient. It's saying we know all the things that belong to the truth. We know these things, and therefore we know what error is. We know these things and we love them, and we hate every false way. Ye have received an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all these things. However, it's just as important to remain and continue like this. And so Jude gives us some tender exhortations. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. These loving pastoral exhortations, which will enable them to continue in the right way and not be impressed or turned aside by these false teachers. So these are safeguards against ever falling ourselves. And that's important too. John in his second epistle, verse 8, says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look out for the false teachers, but look to yourselves. And it's important that we continue in the truth. Well, let us consider this first tender exhortation this evening in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Let's see, first of all, what this is. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then what we do. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. First of all, what this is. We need to understand what your most holy faith is. It can be understood in two ways. It can be understood as something outside us. Your most holy faith, meaning objectively, the body of truth we believe. The contents of this book, the Bible, sound doctrine, referred to in verse 3, the faith once delivered unto the saints. So it's something outside of us. Objective truth revealed, the whole body and scheme of doctrine that is pure truth. Your most holy faith, in the sense of what is to be believed. Something outside of us. But sometimes in the New Testament, this expression, your faith or the faith, means something inside us. Subjectively, our faith, the grace whereby we credit the truth, believe it and trust it. So you see, the first then, something outside of us, it's what is believed. The second, inside us, is the act of believing. And it's important when you encounter this expression to know which is which. You're either talking, of course, of the scriptures, or you're talking about the heart, faith in the heart. So, which is it here? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Not everyone is agreed as to which it is, but I think that it is referring to the first, the objective body of truth, equivalent to Luke 1, verse 1, the things most surely believed among us. Or Colossians 1, verse 23, continue in the faith. And the reason I believe it's referring to faith in the sense of what is to be believed, rather than our believing it, is this. If it were our faith in the sense of what's in the heart, by God's grace, the ability to believe, isn't that a rather shaky foundation? Building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. I don't know about you, but my faith is not that strong and not that good a foundation to build anything on. Because you see, we're so changeable, aren't we? We sometimes are strong in faith, like Abraham, but sometimes we're very weak, and we falter in our believing. Our trust breaks down, and distrust takes over, and we're wobbling, and we lose assurance, we lose clear thinking, we lose our stability for a time. Oh, the occasions when we've almost forgotten the Lord, and we failed to trust him. Building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, that's not a very good foundation. It's always there, but sometimes it's dormant, isn't it? Whereas it always should be an exercise. But it's not that reliable a foundation. But God's truth that we believe, that's a sure foundation, isn't it? Our Lord in Matthew 7, verse 24, he said, whosoever cometh to me and believeth my words and keepeth them, I will liken him to a man who builds his house upon a rock. And that's the foundation, isn't it? The truth of God. These sayings of mine, says Jesus, and all of the revealed truth, and all the scheme of teaching and doctrine. That's rock. That's what you can build on. That's what you can be strong upon. And so surely it's that, isn't it? When it says our most holy faith, it's put like that because it's entrusted to us, isn't it? Verse 3, you see, the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's ours as a deposit, as a trust, and we hold it. And so building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, the truth that belongs to us, that the Lord has favoured us to know and to have. Like 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, ye received the word of God. And oh, how precious. And we are to buy the truth and sell it not. So we're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, the faith that we possess, the body of truth, the gospel, the whole of the scriptures. So that is what this is. Secondly, what we do, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It's a duty and a responsibility, isn't it? It's equivalent to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Nourished up on the words of faith and of good doctrine. Building up here, nourished up or trained up, taught up there. It's the same kind of thing. Here in particular, the metaphor is a building. Building up yourself. And it's the word that's otherwise translated in the New Testament to edify. And what this is saying, dear friends, is that we are all unfinished. And we all have quite a way to go. The foundation is there, the truth of God, the faith, once delivered to us. And that is complete. You can't add to that, can you? You can't make that more stable, more solid than it is. The impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. The foundation is there. Ah, but what about the superstructure? Building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. How far have we come up in terms of the superstructure of the building? We're rather like the building sites that we see these days, aren't we? In this downturn in the building industry. Whereas this time last year, the building boom was at its height, wasn't it? And there were places going up absolutely everywhere. Whenever there's an empty piece of ground, it was bought up, and then apartments, new homes, and so on built on them. And before long they were all fished and being sold. Now you find that so many are part done, aren't they? And things have come to a halt. And it's a rather sad thing, isn't it, to see these part finished buildings. So far, and scaffolding all around, everything quiet. And there are parts, areas missing. Doors, windows, roof trusses, so on. There's weakness there, really, because they're not complete, are they? And they're not very serviceable. You can hardly live inside them. And isn't that what often we feel about ourselves? Gaps in our understanding. Oh, so many areas. Not complete. Often we fail, don't we? How useful are we as Christians? Building up yourselves. And we are vulnerable. Vulnerable to false teachers. Vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. Vulnerable to the blandishments of the world. Vulnerable to the pull of the flesh. All these things, we're unfinished. We're not complete. We're not solid and permanent. But you see, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, the word is the great means of our being built up, edified, brought more to completion. When Paul was bidding farewell to the elders who had met him, who'd come from Ephesus, as he journeyed past that region, and he made his speech to them and said his farewell, and he'd never see them again. They would never see his face. But what was one of the things that he did? He prayed for them, and he left them with this important benediction. He said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Especially these men, you see, who were servants, under shepherds, among the flocks of God, that they might be built up themselves and be strong, and then teach others also, building up yourselves. How important that is. And this is in the context of precisely the same situation as Jude is addressing in his letter. Verse 29 of Acts 20. "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, so that you can defend the flock against these wolves." Building up yourselves. So it's the word, you see. And isn't it true that the more you read, and the oftener you hear it preached, the more spiritual understanding is given. The stronger and more complete we become. And we are being edified, aren't we? Things are being put in place in our Christian experience and in our living out the Christian life. More is coming. More is happening. And we're becoming more like we should be, like we are called to be. Building up yourselves. You see, it's the use of means, isn't it? And the stress is upon personal responsibility. We do it for ourselves. We read the Bible. We read good Christian literature. We come to the means of grace and hear the word preached to us and applied to us in messages from God. We ensure that we are exercised in the truth. And the Lord works his word into us. And deals with us and changes us so that we're growing in grace and in knowledge, in holiness, and in every good thing. Building up yourselves. And as we are faithful, so the Lord blesses. And gracious things are being wrought. Not always do we see the things that are happening. Sometimes the Lord works very deeply, doesn't he? And out of sight, perhaps, and we're not aware of what's happening. You don't see everything, do you? On a building site, you don't see everything that's going on, particularly inside the structure. But there are men busy inside there. Things are being put in place and laid and built up. And fixtures and fittings and things, it's all happening, all contributing toward the finished thing, isn't it? building up yourselves. And as the word comes, and as the Lord applies it, as he speaks to us and works in us, and does things here and there, it's happening. We're being built, being strengthened, being made more complete. It's not so much our possessing the truth, is it? It's the truth possessing us. Building up yourselves. Neglect of the word means neglect of our souls. Omitting, reading, attending, preaching is to our weakening, it's to our loss. Building up yourselves. What a wonderful thing it is to know this. But of course, Jude is meaning that there is something shared in this, isn't there? Building up yourselves. Not saying building up yourself as an isolated individual. Yourselves. It's happening together in fellowship. True enough, our own reading is done in private more, isn't it? In our quiet times. And so on, personal devotions. But the public means of grace, it's ourselves together. And Paul refers to this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It's a blessed thing, isn't it, when the sermon is finished, the good of it continues, as we're able to talk about it afterwards, share things from it, based upon it, in connection with it, edifying one another. Oh, it's a great thing when we as believers learn to try to always say things to each other that are strengthening and encouraging. Because it's so easy to be negative, isn't it? And to say things that discourage and weaken and wear down. But to say things that build up and put strength and comfort, encouragement into the heart. Then we're a real blessing, aren't we? And you see, as we try to do this, there are certain things that are built into us specifically, which we can think about before we conclude. If this is happening, then one thing that we do for ourselves and for others is strength and stability. Comes a time in the building of a house when it no longer needs the support of scaffolding or the staging that the scaffolding provides for the men to get up to the sides and onto the roof. It can be taken away. The thing stands on its foundation as a structure in its own right. And dear friends, it's a blessed thing when we become strong and stable and we don't need props and support and shoring up, as it were. The great thing about gospel days, prophesied in Isaiah 33 and verse 6, is, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. Stable Christians. Ephesians 4. Not blown about with every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro, you see. Stable. Strong. Some believers are impatient, aren't they, of listening to sermons and reading the Bible and reading good books as if there are more important things. Well, there are other important things, that's true. But other things, if we give ourselves to them, Without this thirst, what use are we going to be? We need to be stable and established, don't we? Clear in our view of truth, a sure hold upon it and its sure grip of us, so that we know what we believe and why, and are able to evangelize, able to serve the Lord, able to do good and be a blessing. But you can't if you're unstable and vulnerable and tossed hither and thither by things, easily stumbled. No, strength and stability, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And another thing that will come is this: discernment. Spiritual discernment. It's very dangerous to be naive and gullible, especially in these days when so many things floating around and different ideas and beliefs and the latest fashion and fad coming along and drawing people aside. But Hebrews 5 and verse 14, this is what the writer wants for these believers he's writing to. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual discernment. And he's complaining here that these believers could only take milk when they should have reached a stage where they could receive meat. And that's how you grow strong. And that's how you get a clear view of things, so that you know what is truth and what is error, and that you can discern and discriminate. And isn't it true that building ourselves up on a most holy faith, we come to see the truth so clearly that we see deviations from it just as clearly? And this is not a kind of a spirit that is always on the lookout for something to criticize and condemn, but it is a zeal for the truth and a love of it that is concerned to keep it and help others to keep it. And like Jude, to warn others about those who would draw people aside into error. Discerning truth and error, good and evil. And haven't you found it that sometimes, maybe you listen to a preacher, or maybe you read a book, and the thing is rather more subtle, isn't it, than it is obvious? And you get a sense that somehow something's not quite right. It doesn't quite ring true. You can hardly put your finger on it. It's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying. But somehow it is just not quite right. It's that subtle. Because building up yourselves on your most holy faith makes you more acute and sharp and clear in understanding. And there's not only an understanding of truth and error, but there's also a spirit whereby we sense when something is not quite right. And we're seldom mistaken. But we know when it is right. And we're so blessed, so thankful. Discernment. Oh, the number of dear believers who have been hoodwinked and deceived and drawn aside and unsettled, harmed. What about if when in the 19th century German higher criticism filtered over into this country and took the form of, first of all, biblical scholars and the teaching faculty of Bible seminaries training ministers, and then the pulpits and what the ministers were preaching. them saying that it's not that this is saying that the Bible is not true and these doctrines are not right, but it's just new insights into these things, whereby we can put things a little differently so that as we present them to this more enlightened and scientific generation toward the end of the 19th century, they'll have a greater respect for the faith. And so, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, how then do you redefine these things? How then do you put them a little differently so that they'll appeal more to the scientific and more enlightened generation toward the end of the 19th century? And so people listened and they took notice. And what started in Germany and came over in the colleges, and then the pulpits went down into the pews and into the Sunday schools. And generation after generation, we've seen a steep decline, haven't we? In faith, confidence in the Word of God, the rugged doctrines of the gospel. And generation after generation, liberalism, decline, loss, falling away. If there had been discernment, if our Victorian forefathers had been discerning, as Spurgeon was discerning, for instance, and others who supported him in the downgrade, but they were in the minority amongst the nonconformists of that day. And people were saying that Spurgeon was alarmist. And he had a nose for error at every turn and was just causing trouble and breaking ranks within the Baptist Union and causing disunity and division. And they ought to pipe down and be quiet because things are going on fine. And we're on the verge of a new century, the 20th century, when the faith is going to conquer the world and the churches will be stronger than ever. And we can also commend ourselves to the scientific and enlightened generation and show that there's no discrepancy between the Bible and evolution. And we know what's happened. And so you could go on with every era and every new thing that's come along and done so much damage. If God's people were discerning and could see issues clearly, we're able to say, no, that's false, that's unbiblical, that's not the right way of the Lord, then what could have been saved? How things might have been different. Building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. Discernment. Holiness is another thing. Your holy faith. You see, the Word of God is holy, isn't it? These false teachers, verse 4, they turn the grace of our God unto lasciviousness. Their teaching was filthy because it assured believers that because all is of grace, they could sin as much as they liked and live licentious lives because they could be forgiven, and that would magnify the grace of God all the more. Sin that grace might abound. That's filthy. Your most holy faith. The Word being holy itself, the truth being holy, makes us holy, doesn't it? It leaves a sweet taste in our mouth. Even a little reading of it leaves a taste in our mouth which makes us long to be like Jesus. Holy like God is holy. It reproves our sin and highlights wrong things, brings us to repentance, reproves us, corrects us, instructs us in righteousness. Your holy faith. Sanctify them by the truth, praise Jesus. Thy word is truth. One more thing. It has evangelistic value as well. You might not think so. What's all this about being built up and building up ourselves, becoming strong Christians? What evangelistic value has that got? Well, Acts 9 verse 31, we read this, that the churches, well, they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Edified, multiplied. And chapter 16 of Acts, same thing. 16 verse 5. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That gives a lie, doesn't it, to some believers who say, oh, fed up about sermons, 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 books, 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 Bible, Bible, Bible. Let's get out there and evangelize. We need to reach the lost. We need to reach the perishing and so on. If you make that kind of dichotomy, then you're dividing what God has joined together. And let no man put these asunder. Edified, multiplied. Established in the faith, grow in number daily. It has evangelistic value, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. Why? Because strong, well-built Christians are a tremendous witness, aren't they? If you're edified and built up and are strong, well, it means that we're making an impression, strong in faith. When things hit us in life, we're not knocked over by them. We stand in the strength of the Lord and on the truth, and we're helped to bear a testimony. And people say, well, it must be something, must be truth in what you believe, because look what it's done to your life. It's made you able to cope, and it's given you something I don't have. And yeah, strong, well-built Christians, tremendous witness. What a blessing. What kind of a witness is it to say one day you're a Christian and you're happy, and then the next day something happens in life and you're all in pieces? What kind of witness is that? The world will say, well, what have you got that we haven't got? Ah, but if you say you're a Christian and then something comes along, the world also suffers, but we cope because we're strong in the Lord and in the grace of his word. Ah, then the world says, oh, there must be something in this Christianity of yours, you see. Well-built Christians. Tremendous witness. Very important, what we do. It doesn't take long to demolish, does it? You can demolish a thing very, very, very quickly. It takes years to build up. But oh, how much more rewarding. We're building for eternity as well as for time. These false teachers of Jude's day, they could demolish churches, demolish Christians easily. That's why we've got to be careful. Years, years of preaching, edifying, growing, and then broken down in 5 minutes by error. That's why we need to be so careful. May the Lord then enable us to see what this is and enable us to do these things. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Let us sing together now. Hymn number 328.
Inspirer of the ancient seers, who wrote from thee the sacred page, the same through all succeeding years, to us in our degenerate age, the spirit of Correct, reprove, and build.